Okay, did this make any sense? You can help me.
It made sense, but I was going to just comment on a couple other little things. I wonder if anybody else caught this, but in my hometown, there's three streets that run parallel with each other about a block apart. One of them is Florence Street, Flower Street, and Park Street. And the way I remember them is Florence picked flowers in the park. That way I can remember where the streets are. So you know how sometimes it's hard to find scriptures in the Bible? And Mark was looking for a scripture today, and just barely audible under his breath, I heard him mutter, "George eats peas and carrots." And I thought, yes, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so little tricks like that to remember where the scripture, I really like that today. And then also, when Mark mentioned that when Jesus gave his disciples the authority to go out, and they come back and they're all excited and they said, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And I hope I remember this scripture right. If I don't, somebody can correct me, but when they said, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name," you know what Jesus said to them? He said, "Well, don't be so happy about that as you are that your names are written in the book of life." And I thought, boy, does that show the character of Christ. And that's the character we're supposed to be taking on. So that really stuck out to me today, too. And then I know right now we're commenting on the word, but before we go today, Kevin wants to ask for prayer, so we'll give him a chance to do that here in a minute.
You know, there was one other place I could have read, and that's in 1 Corinthians 46. 15, 46. "Howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual." Amen. "The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." So we've got earthly and we've got heavenly people. Amen. "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You know, I think the biggest hindrance that man has, that Christians have, is the pull of the earthy. The pull of the earthy is so strong. Man cannot see, the earthy man cannot see the spiritual, and therefore he resists. He resists the word, he resists the preaching that tells him he can come up into a higher level, a higher realm. And he digs in and he sets his claws into earth that he can't be pulled up. But brethren, you know, even we release those claws that are holding on to earth. And we've got to get up into higher spiritual places if we're going to be in Christ, if we're going to be where he is, that ye may be where I am. You know, the disciples were holding on. They weren't holding on purpose. They just did not seem to have the ability to break through that veil that was on their mind.
And I had one little thing. Isn't like the ego representative of your mind, like in the Bible? So where it says that, let me see where the scripture is here.
Who needs
And the woman
somebody?
were
Wait a minute.
given.
Wait a minute. Somebody needs to mute. Okay, go ahead.
And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. So that would be like everything that's coming down around us, we're just oblivious to it because we're in a higher dimension of thinking or spiritual realm that it doesn't even affect us, and we can go on and still be nourished while the rest of the world is ailing because of what's going on around us. But that's just one thing that came to me.
Yeah, Jeremy, I think that's the way it's going to be, even more so than it is now. Because Satan hasn't really been cast down yet. I don't think he's hit the bottom yet. When he hits the bottom, you're going to see that beast rise from the sea, and he's going to be sponsoring every bit of it.
The
It
host.
sounds. Go ahead, Connie.
It reminds me of the butterfly. All the butterfly, all the caterpillar's life is crawling. It's all attached to the earth, crawling, crawling, feeding, eating, growing, till it gets to a point. And at that point, then it starts to change and it goes into the chrysalis. And it's there for, I don't know, I don't even remember how period of time. And then that chrysalis breaks open and it comes forth. And as the butterfly is breaking forth from that, if it is hindered, if it is touched by just, let's say, human intervention, helping the butterfly get out of that. It doesn't go through the process that it needs to, and it's crippled. It's still going to be basically earthbound. But as it's fighting its way out of that natural, that shell, it's pumping blood into its veins and its wings, and it's strengthening its wings. And then when that fullness has taken place, then it can fly. It is no longer earthbound. And it just always speaks to me how I am definitely fighting a war within my soul. And you know what? It's not necessarily a war with the devil. It's a war with Connie. It is a war of Connie. I'm fighting this war to let go of these things that have me attached to this earth that I can be free and I can fly into the heavenlies. And it's a process, and it's a hugely painful process because don't always know what I'm fighting against, but I know that I'm coming to a point that I'm having to let go of every single thing I've ever held on to in my life other than Jesus Christ. And that has been a huge revelation to me, that it is the letting go and letting the Lord come in and change that caterpillar, change that earthy in me to something spiritual in the heavenlies. So I want to fly in the heavenlies. I don't want to be bound.
Amen.
To this earth
Amen.
any longer because there's not life. The life comes as we're struggling to get out of the earthy. That's when the life comes and starts flowing in our veins.
Hey, Mark, when you were talking about, you know, coming to a higher place, we Christians, you know, it really what I think what you're saying is that we just need to increase our faith. You know, that's what it's all about. How much faith do you have? You know, we all have the faith, salvation faith, to believe the gospel. But the things that God has said in his word, that he has promised, that he's proclaimed, what's coming, what kind of to faith of who we are as his people, and to walk in that, and to not fear, not doubt, but the faith to walk out your Christian life and give up your life no matter what. You know, it talks in the scripture, it says that we have victory over death. Death, where is your sting? You just have to increase your faith. This is what the disciples said to Jesus. They had faith, but they needed more faith. And I really think that's where we are as Christians too. It's not enough. The faith that we have right now is not enough. You know, we've got to continue to appropriate more and more to firmly believe what God has said throughout the scriptures and to walk in newness of life. When you were talking about President Trump, that you don't know where he is as far as, you know, what he believes. I'm reminded of what he said, that, you know, if it wasn't for God, he would not be here. And what he, that to me, again, talking about faith, that to me was a proclamation of faith. We see it in scripture, in Matthew 16, where Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter had the right answer. He said that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, this, it wasn't you saying this. This was God, that this Holy Spirit that showed you that. And because of that proclamation, the thing that you said, you are justified. Justified by your faith. And that's what Paul always talks about in the book of Romans. We are justified not by our works, we're justified by faith. And we look at Hebrews 11, where it's all faith. It's all, everything is imputed to us by the faith that we exhibit, by the faith that we proclaim. One of the great people in that chapter is Rahab. You know, Rahab looked back on something that she heard happened 40 years prior, and she said, "I know that that your God has given you this land." She already said, she already knew before that it was given to them that it was already done. So she, again, because of that proclamation of faith, she was saved. And, you know, again, it's everything is by faith. So when Trump acknowledged that it was God who saved him, I believe that was the proclamation of faith that indeed he's going to be saved, that he is saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So
now let us pray that he will acknowledge Jesus Christ as well.
Well, let's look at that. He has, throughout his last 8 years, has been being ministered to by the body of Christ around him. He wasn't being ministered by Muslims, by Buddha, you know, any other religious people. It's all Christians that have surrounded him. So, you know,
well,
I would like to hear him say, like you, the name Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But again, you realize where he is in his political status. And so, you know, he's got to get to the point. He's got to grow in faith to get to the point where he is not afraid to acknowledge that politically. And that's
his VP isn't afraid of it.
Pardon?
Well, his vice president has got a whole lot more to say about his testimony.
Who?
The man he chose, Vance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
He knows what it means to walk in faith. Hallelujah. So, all I'm saying is we need more faith. Always.
Right.
I was wondering on where the devil was cast out of heaven before. Okay, he was cast down to earth. It says he was in a heavenly realm at that point. But then when he's cast down again to earth in Revelation 12, where Michael and the angels fought against him, and they prevailed, and he prevailed not. And the devil was cast down to earth again. It sounds to me at that time is when he entered the Antichrist, and he went against everything on earth. And I'm kind of wondering, is he no longer in heaven at that point? Because he's with the seas, the people on earth, the people that no longer, the people that don't believe.
Yeah.
And we are, and Christ poured at that point, he poured out his spirit upon us, on the sons of God who rose above, and he could no longer get to us.
Yeah, well, he was first cast out of that second realm. He wanted the first realm. He wanted the throne. He wanted to be in the place of God. And he was sort of in a second realm below that with angels, or with archangels at least. And he and his angels got cast out of that into what I would call maybe the third realm, the lower realm. Now, it seems to me that in Revelation 12, he's being cast out of that realm into what is called earth, which is, in other words, it's taken his liberty of movement in the spirit away from him somewhat, and he has to move now in a carnal realm. So yes, I agree, that's apparently when he goes into his Antichrist, that he seems to be, there's always some good candidates waiting for that opportunity. I mean, Hitler wanted it, Stalin wanted it, and I'm sure there's some good candidates that are waiting for that right now. And he'll take his choice, and he'll move into that man when this really gets cast down.
And that does not sound like he is able to enter heaven or a heavenly realm at that point.
No.
I don't think that is heaven. You kind of said that he was cast down into another heaven, but I don't think that is a heaven.
No, I said he's a spirit being. He's still a spirit being, but he has to come down into a carnal realm to express himself now.
Right, that's when I think he's in the Antichrist, and the Antichrist and the minions that are there with him are going after the man-child church. and after the woman at that
his
point.
His demons with him are going to enter into men likewise to form this beast system.
Right. Okay. I agree with you.
Let me pause this for a minute.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, brother.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment as I listen. It came up some time ago, the issue of politics and the candidacy in America, Trump and Biden. I'm wondering, it looks to me as though Biden are seeming to put up, put up Trump as a worthy candidate to be voted for or looked up to. Maybe I'm not hearing very well. I just feel that I feel a little bit uneasy about that. And I thought to read the scripture. Just a comment for you to look at it, brethren. 1 Timothy chapter 2. She will turn there a minute. Just a comment on that. 1 Timothy 2. And I'm saying this because in the last election in Nigeria, we had a lot of, I had a lot of trouble personally, in the sense that a number of brethren, tilted towards politics. And they suggested a candidate that was a Christian candidate. Unfortunately, it was a Catholic, and they actually praying and Christians were encouraged in church, in the Holy Place Church where we are in, to actually go and get their voter's card and go and vote for, you know, this in quotes, you know, Christian candidate. And the result of it is obvious that it was not the Lord. And a lot of things have happened, you know, with that. And I seem to, as I listen to the brethren, I feel like just chipping in for them to look at it. Well, the scripture, let me read it and make the comment. Verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. Now, because this is the scripture that a lot of brethren bring up to give strength to the fact that we should be involved in praying for the country, for Nigeria, for the nations, involved with seeing that we pray in a candidate that will be pro-Christian, you know, and all that. But the first part of call here is to pray for all men, which is what we have all been doing all the while. And it says to pray for kings. Number two, pray for kings and for all that in that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and all that. Now, it will seem to me that the church, I may be wrong, seems to be making this too elastic. And instead of, so for example, Mr. Trump, hello, can you hear me? or the president, the former president, is he in authority? Can you hear me? So God commands us from this scripture to pray for those in authority. And looking at Nigeria, for example, the person to pray for right now is Tinubu, the president. That is the person to pray for, and to pray for him and to bless him, independent of whether he is a Catholic or a Muslim, whatever it is. From this scripture, the commandment of God is for us to pray for them and see how what we can do in our closest in working with the Lord. So I feel that the thing to do for Christians now in America is to pray for their president. Those in authority. And it looks as though I feel that there's a little distraction that as I listen here and there, not just on this platform, brethren seem to be so involved with the coming elections. Who is going to win? And I'm a little bit worried about that. The commandment of God is here in this scripture is saying that we should pray for this authority, not as to who is going to win or who is going to lose. So I just want to sound that as I hear, I'm getting a little bit worried. You know, brethren should look at the scripture properly. The commandment of God is for us to pray for those in authority and not to be involved in who is going to be elected. Now, once we do that, we have an issue. Because if you pray for Trump to be elected and he gets elected and he doesn't win, whatever happens to it, the Christian is going to bear the brunt. And for Nigeria today, I feel that we are having a lot of suffering based on our inclination into politics. I don't know whether I communicated, but just to say that brethren should look at that scripture and pray for those in authority and not to be involved in the election process. If you have a candidate to vote, you vote for him if you want to. But what to pray for? God is saying it is those in authority, the governors, the commissioners, whatever they are, you pray for them and not to be involved with electing them. Just to mention that, brethren. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever the political process that we have, it's not the kingdom of God. And whatever you vote for, it's still not going to be the kingdom of God. Thank you, brother. I see, maybe let me pause the recording for a minute here.
Godliness and for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Who? Now we have to underline who. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? So God's intention here is for us to pray that men in authority, and in fact, all men should come to the knowledge of God, know the truth, and be saved. It is not to pray for people in authority that they should rule very well in their wicked ways. No, that they should know God and be saved. That is the point God is making here. So if we end the scripture before verse 4, then we may not get the true meaning of that picture, of that scripture. So it would be better we are aware that God is not telling us to pray for Trump to rule well, or Biden to rule and expand LGBTQ. No. What God is saying is that Biden should come to the knowledge of him and be saved. God has not changed and he will not change. He wants the souls of men to be saved. So that is what this scripture is all about. And I believe that it is understood. All of us, you know, that have seen it, will know that we does not need extra interpretations or a revelation. Mm. So God wants our leaders to know him and be saved. Praise God.
Can I add just one little thing to that, Brother Opie? We should be praying that our leaders come to know Jesus, because our leaders don't necessarily, they believe in God, but they reject Jesus as the Son. And if you look into, I'm not trying to badmouth Trump here at all, but if you look into his religious affiliations, he's into Judaism. And we know that in Judaism, they reject Jesus as the Messiah. So this is why I say we should be praying that they come to the knowledge of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kevin? Mike? Someone?
We hear you.
If I wanted to send something to Kevin, what address would I send it to?
He's using my address right now, which is Michael Sawyer, and it's 1120 Sierra Drive, Sierra, just like the mountains, 1120 Sierra Drive, Turlock, Turlock, California, 95380.
Okay, thank you. You know,
there's a muted. You are muted. We can't hear you.
Did you take me off? Oh, I was saying, I'm reminded of I know there's a verse in James that something to the effect that, you know, you say, well, when you see a need, when you see a brother in need, you say, well, I'll pray for you, and you send them on their way. And that's all, you know, that you feel to do. But there in James, it says that, you know, we should go beyond that and you know, lend a helping hand. I guess I just put that out there for anyone who feels for this brother. Amen.
I think the scripture Larry was talking about was where the guy hears somebody else's problems, and his reply is, go be warm and filled, mm-hmm. but he does nothing.
Right. But isn't there something in James that tells us to reach out when we see a brother in need, not beyond just praying? Am I wrong there, Mark, or what?
No, you're very correct. You're very correct.
You're correct, he said.
We have to do something.
Well, I want to know where it is.
It's in James. I think James 3.
What did he say?
It's in James.
James, I think he said.
Yeah, I know. I think it's in James, but I don't know where.
Also, Proverbs 3:27.
3:27.
Go ahead and read it, Jer.
Oh, my
phone. James 2:26.
Oh, okay.
6.
Sorry, 2:16. James 2:16.
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and be filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Jeremy, you want to read what you've got?
Yeah, I think the one of James is better, but this one's kind of applies.
James.
Yeah.
Withhold not good from them whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, then thou hast it by thee. So, yeah.
Where is that?
It's Proverbs 3:27.
Oh, okay. Not in the book of James.
Right, yeah.
There's another proverb that says, and I don't know exactly where it is, but it says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, that if you fail to hear the cry of the poor, a day will come when you will cry out and no one will hear you.
It's James 2:15-16. If a brother, somebody has read it.
I think he said.
James 2:15-16. Maybe I should read it. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? What doth it profit? You read it. Okay, amen.
Okay, well, I think we've done our business for today.
Mark. And,
yeah, go ahead, Madeline.
I'm sorry, but I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and I've got to say something to Connie. Connie, I want you to know that you are going to make it. God has shown me something, that you are going to make it. You hear the voice of God, and you are on the right road, and you will recover. You are surrounded by God's people, and you also are being counseled by God's people. But I'll tell you one thing. There is going to be a person or persons that will come to you to try to sideswipe you. And you will know that time when it happens because you hear the voice of God. But there are people that want to discourage you and take you down and take you away from the will of God and the direction that you're going. But I believe that you will know the difference. But God also wants you to know you are going to make it. Through the hard times, you're going to learn and you're going to hear and you're going to see God raising you up because of these tribulations that come. But be of good cheer, Connie. You will overcome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that word of encouragement. Connie, are you in Kansas now, or are you still in Illinois?
I'm still in Illinois. I've had a third fail attempt to get the moving trailer to Kansas City, and also the closing date for the property keeps moving. So, I live in, I joke and I say I live in my little emoji. I live in the land of I don't know.
Well, it's going to happen, Connie. It's going to happen.
Amen. The Lord told me a while back, he says, what did he say about knowing? He said, what is that saying about knowing? Oh, need to know. I'm on a need to know basis. And he will let me know when I need to know.
Okay.
So, praise the Lord. But
amen. All right. Well, let us say goodbye for today.
I just have to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Thank you.